Jim Harrell's Campfire is brought to you by Ring. For $50 off the Ring of Security Kit, go to ring.com/campfire. Protect your family and your home. Go to ring.com/campfire today. Thanks, Ring.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harrell's Campfire.
Welcome to the Campfire. I am Jim Harrell, and so glad to be with you once again. And if you are new to the show, the Campfire is the show to listen to if you want to hear true stories of the supernatural from our listeners from all around the world. They call in and they tell us the strange experiences that they've had, and sometimes they ask for feedback, and we consider this a place where we can all share without judgment strange stories of the supernatural that have happened to many of us, including me. And now we are going to present to you some fine campfire stories, and here they are. Well, first up on the campfire, this is talk about synchronicity. We're recording this on Monday, June 20th, and for folks who don't know, I am a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers. They just won a great game last night with a very worthy opponent, the Golden State Warriors, and guess who's on the line? Jen from the San Francisco Bay Area, from whence the Warriors hail. So I just thought it was very synchronistic that Jen was our first caller today. And Jen, you guys were a very worthy opponent. It could have gone either way. I'm very excited to be a Cleveland fan, but your Warriors are a great team and should be recognized as such.
Yes, it's you know, we were very, very proud to be in the championships, and you know, people are just a little sad today around here, but you know, we'll get through it.
Believe me, in Cleveland, we've been through that. We hadn't had a championship in 52, so you have 52 years, so you have my empathy. But that's to digress from the main point of our call today. Actually, Jen has a great story she's submitted over at the Virtual Campfire, and it surrounds a protective entity. When we think of entities, many times we think of scary and spooky things, but Jen seems like she has a good entity that protects her. Jen, welcome to the program, and didn't mean to razz you on the basketball game, but thank you for joining us on the campfire, and tell us what happened with this protective entity.
Well, thank you for calling me. Okay, so the first time that I saw this, I think she's a girl. I was about 9 years old, and I was on the phone. It was late night with two of my best friends, and I was downstairs in the living room. It was very dark. None of the lights in the house were on. All my family was sleeping, and I had the TV on, and I think I had one light next to me. So everything else, you know, pretty dark throughout the house. And the room that I was in is actually on the lowest level of the house. So if I am facing the TV, then behind me, there's a family room and a kitchen. They're both on a higher level, about four steps up. And, you know, I had the TV on, the volume was low, just chatting with my friends like a kid, you know, middle of summer. And for some reason, I was just compelled to turn my head and look over toward the family room, which was, you know, up about four steps in the dark. And so when I turned my head, I saw this girl, and she was on the upper level. She was all white, face, hair, dress, everything white. But she was smiling at me, and she was really beautiful, really, really pretty. And I didn't know what to think. And as I looked at her and she was smiling at me, she extended her hand toward me and she started floating toward me. And I know this because she was on that upper level. And as she came toward me, she stayed at that same height. And, you know, so I looked and my eyes just grew wide. I didn't know what to do. You know, I got my friends on the phone and they're just chatting away. So as soon as I realized there's something coming toward me and no idea what this is, I buried my face in the pillow and I screamed.
Oh my, and, I don't blame you.
And, you know, everyone else in the house was sleeping. My friends had no idea what was going on. So I had my face in the pillow for a while. When I finally looked up, she was gone. And I thought, okay, that was just really weird. Don't know what to make of it. Fast forward a few years, when I was 15, I was in my room, same house, laying down in my bed, and I had been sleeping for maybe a couple of hours when all of a sudden I woke up and I couldn't breathe. So my eyes popped open, and in front of me, as I'm laying down, in front of me, I see her again. Her face is kind of like she's hovering parallel to me. And she looks at me, she smiles, and I see her arm kind of in the motion of like sweeping something away from me. As she's sweeping her arm across, I feel a hand on my neck with nails just being pulled off of my throat, and I could breathe again. So it's like whatever it was that was stopping me from being able to breathe, you know, she pushed it away. So that was the second time that I saw her. After that, you know, I immediately sat up in my bed. I don't know where she went. I don't know what else was in the room with us, but I just got up. I started praying. I didn't know what to make of that either, but it was definitely the same girl. And so fast forward again, a few more years to, I think I was 18 or 19. It was my cousin's birthday. This time I was down the street at my cousin's house. And a little background about this, my aunt had told the family, my family, you know, we believe in these kinds of things and paranormal activities and all that. And my aunt had told our family that there was a spirit in her house that was not the greatest, not the most polite. His name was Julian, and he would mess around with her at night and, you know, do things around the house to kind of throw people off. And I had never encountered him before. And so we're at my cousin's house. It's her birthday. And for her birthday, we had a bunch of friends over. And one of our friends had decided that he started looking into hypnosis. And, you know, he had claimed to be a medium. And I had never really talked to him about this stuff before. So he asked, you know, does anyone want to be hypnotized for fun? You know, let's try it out and see if it would work. So I volunteered. We're in my aunt's room, the one who had told me about Julian. So we're in my aunt's room. I'm laying down on her bed, just in the middle of the bed, and everybody is surrounding the bed. So he goes into this process of hypnotizing me. I wasn't really sure if it was working. And as I'm laying there and he's talking to me, you know, I start feeling really anxious all of a sudden. And I started crying. And I could see this face in front of me. It was a really scary looking, like a combination of like a clown / monster face just in front of me, kind of taunting me, but not really doing anything to me, just making me scared and feeling intimidated. And, you know, I have my eyes closed, but I'm seeing this. And in my periphery, I see this really beautiful butterfly, all different colors. And, you know, it's just kind of there, and nothing is really touching me. And so I get out of this, and, you know, the guy who hypnotized me, let's call him Paul, afterward, Paul and I were talking, and he said, you know, that thing that you were saying, that was Julian. And I said, oh, I hadn't told you about Julian. He said, yeah, but that was him. And I said, so what was that other thing that I was seeing? He said, that's your friend. Let me back up. When I saw her when I was 15, after I got up, I said, I appreciate you protecting me, but I don't want to see you because you scare me. Right? So later when this happened, you know, he said to me, that's her. She didn't want to scare you, but she wants you to know that she's always protecting you. And she was protecting you from Julian because he wanted you out of the house. So I was freaking out because Paul had never heard any of my stories before this. And so, you know, he and I talked and I told him about my previous experiences. And he said, oh, yeah, this is it. This is your girl. And this is Julian. And, you know, and I hadn't said anything. But when I was laying there and we were in the middle of the whole hypnosis, I felt that somebody had got up and walked around the bed and sat down next to me. And I asked Paul, I said, well, who was it that got up during the, you know, the whole process and sat down next to me? And he looked at me like, you know, he had this weird look on his face. He said, oh, you felt that? And I said, well, who was it? He said, well, it wasn't any of our people. It was somebody else that was in the room with us that no one else could see. And I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
So, you know, just a whole bunch of activity that day, especially. But yeah, so this girl, apparently, you know, I saw her twice as a person, the third time as a butterfly. And then when I told my mom about it, she told me that when I was young, about, you know, 4 or 5, that she would see me playing with another little girl dressed in white, all white. And she thought, well, maybe that's her. And I thought, well, that's weird because, you know, I had never heard of an entity growing with someone. And then later, I think I was about 20, 21, I was sitting with my cousin on the couch and he was visiting from out of town. And where we were, you could see up the stairs to the hallway upstairs. And, you know, it was a bunch of us just sitting around. And then he said, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he said, Jen, what are you doing upstairs? And I was sitting right next to him. So I turned to him and I said, what do you mean? And he looked at me, his face just went pale. He said, I thought I just saw you walk across wearing a white skirt, because I was actually wearing a white skirt that day, too.
Huh.
And I said, oh, I wonder if that's her.
Oh, my.
So,
why do you think you've been picked for this?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I was necessarily, I don't know if it's necessarily a special thing that, you know, it's just me picked by her. I wonder if other people, you know, have some sort of protector with them all the time. They just don't come in the same form or just don't, haven't had a chance to see this person, you know, or this entity. And, you know, I was curious to know if any of your other listeners had ever heard of or experienced something growing like that as well, or, you know, maybe changing as the person changes, someone as a protector, you know.
Well, yes, please do tell us out there. If you're listening and you've heard this, please do let us know. And I would ask you this. Is this something that you would want to see go away, or is it something you've grown very comfortable with?
Well, you know, it's something that I don't always think about. And when things happen to me, it comes to my mind. I think, oh, I wonder if, you know, if this was her, protecting me, or if this was her, you know, telling me something. And so I don't necessarily want it to go away, but, you know, like I had told her when I was 15, I get a little freaked out. So it's not necessarily something that I want to see all the time either.
Well, so, Jen, I've got to say thank you so much for submitting your story, being a part of the virtual campfire. And do you have any last thoughts on it for us?
No, you know, I'd love to hear what other people have experienced. I really enjoy the campfire and I love the podcast. I've been listening since I think October now and, wow. I'm obsessed.
Well, so. Thank you. But thank you for being such a good sport about the basketball game too. I didn't mean to hit you with that. Well, the blue, but I just thought it was just too weird of a coincidence not to mention, but thank you so much and hope you continue to enjoy the programs and thank you for sharing your story on the campfire.
Thank you. And good job to the Cavs.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the program. Today's episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Ring. Now, ghost stories might be scary, but I know something even scarier. How about this statistic? There's a home burglary every 13 seconds. And I didn't realize this, but the folks over at Ring tell me that most happen in broad daylight with a burglar ringing your doorbell to make sure you're away before breaking in. That's why I'm so glad that I now have the Ring Video Doorbell. It's such a neat device. Somebody comes to your door, you get a notification on your smartphone, whether they ring the doorbell or not. You have the ability to record to the cloud, so you can have a full record of who's been to your home and who's visited. It's such a great thing security-wise. I mean, it lets you know who's been there. If somebody has been messing around with packages, and we know that's an increasing problem with all the online orders, people stealing packages from home, the Ring Video Doorbell is there acting as a sentry, recording everything, notifying you on your smartphone when somebody is at the door. And the beauty of it is, it's amazing. It's really out of something like out of sci-fi. You could be hundreds of miles away and actually answer your doorbell and talk to the person there in real time, see them in video, and they have no idea that you're not at home. Now, that is cool enough, and I feel so much safer now that my family has the Ring video doorbell. But the people over at Ring, they've kicked it up a notch. They're now using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with something they call the Ring of Security Kit. The kit includes the Ring video doorbell for the front door, as I told you, a Ring stick-up cam, the wireless weatherproof HD camera to keep an eye on other parts of your property. So you really do have a ring of security around your home. The Ring video doorbell and a stick-up cam both install in minutes, and working together, they provide 24/7 monitoring of your entire home, whether you're in the living room or, as I said, thousands of miles away. Now, fans of the show know that I really value my family. They're the most important thing in the world to me. And I'm sure you feel the same way, and I feel so much safer now with the Ring of Security Kit. So, the good folks over at Ring, they're making a great offer. For a limited time, Campfire listeners get $50 off the Ring of Security Kit. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, and all you have to do is go over to ring.com/campfire. That's ring.com/campfire. Join the hundreds of thousands who protect their home with Ring. Go over to ring.com/campfire for $50 off the Ring of Security Kit. Protect your family and your home. Go to ring.com/campfire today. Thanks, Ring. Next up on the show is Ian from Chicago, and let me paint the scene for you. Ian is moving out of his current apartment relatively soon, but he's in his bedroom right now as he speaks with us, and there's some very strange goings on in this place that Ian is going to tell us about, and he's calling us from the very scene right now. Ian, welcome to the program. I know you've been listening for years now, so thank you for that.
Yeah. And no, thanks for having me.
And tell us about these weird goings on in your soon to be former apartment.
Yeah, so it's actually funny because I don't know if you can hear the echo in here, but it's relatively empty.
Yeah, I can tell there's an echo.
I've been strategically moving things out over the last, you know, week and a half or so to prepare for the big move. It's funny because it's now the weirdness is even more apparent than it was before, because it's a much, there's a stillness now that wasn't here before, if that makes any sense. So you want me to just start from the top, basically?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So, I moved in here, July 1st of last year, and it's a pretty standard Chicago apartment. The building was opened in 1910 for residential living. And my unit is one of the ones that has been pretty much untouched since then. There's still a lot of the original molding, the original flooring is still here. There really has been little to rehab the place since it first was made available. So myself and my roommate, we moved in, and we didn't notice much of anything for probably the first few weeks. However, both of us said that when we were home alone, we always had the sense that we felt as though we could hear, it sounded like someone else was in the unit with us. And it started with small things. It started with like shuffling in the kitchen. We'd hear, you know, the floor creaking in the living room, that sort of thing. And sure enough, you know, we'd poke our heads out and there'd be nobody there, as these stories typically go. And it slowly began to escalate from there. So it started out with the footsteps and the shuffling. Then we started hearing like dishes would be in the sink, and we'd hear like someone, like there's if someone dropped a bowl or like a plate into the sink, and we go in there and there sure enough be nothing there.
Right.
We've heard the doors opening on their own. We've heard locks opening and closing. And, you know, every time it happens, it's very jarring. It's not something you necessarily expect or want to hear when you're in an apartment by yourself. So we brushed it off at first to the neighbors. The building, we were the last people to move into the building. The building was completely occupied aside from our unit. And when we moved in, or I'm sorry, before we moved in and we viewed the unit, we spoke to the people that were living there, you know, asked them what they thought. And they didn't have anything weird to say about the place on their own. They didn't say anything to us about, you know, hey, there's some weird stuff that goes on after dark that you might be aware of, that sort of thing. We really didn't even think much of it until about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. A month and a half ago, the leasing agency let the tenants here know that the rent was going up. So people have been moving out pretty regularly since that. Sure enough, because we were the last ones to move in, the building is now almost completely empty except for us. And I think there's a maintenance guy that has an apartment of his own down in the basement.
That's going to be kind of a spooky feeling by itself.
Oh, I tell you, it's bizarre. I do a podcast myself. And when I'm coming home late at night from recording, walking into a dead building where there's nothing going on is a wild feeling. It's very, very odd. There's also this, the basement to the apartment complex actually connects the entire block of building. So it's this really long cavernous stone passage. Mm-hmm. And there's always that place is always stuff going on down there. I've never been able to really explain what it is, but there's always noises and creaking and you know, it's just a very, very odd place. But anyway, so the supposed activity in my unit kind of came to a head about a month ago when all the other people started moving out. And that's when we started noticing the coughing and like grumbling, as if someone's talking to themselves.
Right.
And I remember this was like 2 weeks ago. I'm sitting in my living room and I'm watching TV and I hear a hacking cough, like someone trying to clear phlegm out of their throat.
Oh boy.
And I paused, I was watching Netflix and I paused the show. And I stop and I listen. I don't hear anything. And I kind of sat there for a couple of minutes waiting for it. And sure enough, I heard another like coming from the kitchen. And I get up and I look and I knew there'd be nothing there, you know, but I got up and I looked and there was nothing there. I got home the day before I rode into you. I got home and I found my roommate in his bedroom with the light on. This was like 11:30 at night. I'm like, you know, what's going on?
Right.
And he's like, I swear to you that there was somebody in our apartment today. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I came home and the back door was unlocked. The windows were open and nothing was taken. There was no sign of anybody being in here, but all the locks were open. The windows were open. And I was like, did you call to see if maybe an exterminator came in? Maybe somebody came in to check, you know, the condition of the unit since we're moving out, that sort of thing. He's like, yeah, I called and they told me that no one has checked out our keys for 14 days.
Oh man.
So we're here, you know, I mean, so we're hearing grumbling, we're hearing coughing, we're hearing footsteps. And I don't know if it's something that's been going on as regularly as it feels like it's going on now. We just didn't notice it because the building wasn't empty, but it definitely feels like it's picking up, or at least it's more apparent now than it was before.
Wow. That's a frightening thought. So I guess you're kind of glad maybe you're getting out of there.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the rent hike, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's necessarily something that I'm, you know, afraid of, because whatever or whoever it is doesn't seem to really be, you know, up to no good. It seems like they're just kind of pussing around on their own. But I definitely will be glad to be rid of the you're alone, but not alone feeling that I tend to get around here.
Exactly. Well, I have to ask, since you are a podcaster and we always like to help support our fellow podcasters, briefly tell us a little bit about your podcast and where people can find it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
If you'd like to.
Of course. I think I emailed you to come on and do the show when we first started it, but things kind of fell apart. And we didn't get going on it until much later. I do a podcast all about the horror genre. We talk about films and books and TV series and that sort of thing, and just kind of what makes horror horror. And we kind of put like a comedic twist on it. It's called Horrified.
Cool.
You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on iTunes. We put up a new episode every week, and it's a good time. It's a good time. We don't take things too seriously, so we don't expect our listeners to either. It's just three guys joking around about horror movies and stuff.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, Ian, thank you so much for being a part of the campfire and sharing your story tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Next up is Erin from North Carolina. Now, she's been listening for 4 months, but she has already read all 4 of my campfire books, which, by the way, you can find at jimharoldbooks.com and on Amazon if you're so inclined, as Erin was. And she has a story about, well, one of these historic haunted places and spaces, which always fascinate me. She's going to tell us about it. Erin, welcome to the show as a listener and as a caller, and please tell us what happened.
Hey, Jim. Well, this story happened around the summer of 2002. We were getting towards the end of freshman year at college, and my best friend and I were at different universities. So we wanted to spend the summer together, and we found that we could attend summer school at College of Charleston, and it would transfer, the credits. So Charleston, great, really excited.
Sure.
June 2002, we drove 3.5 hours and arrived in downtown, and we found out that our housing happened to be this very historic home on Wentworth Street, about a block or two from King Street, which is like the main drag through historic downtown Charleston. We were surprised because we kind of expected a dorm, but it was a house. It was just very, very old. It was a typical Charleston single house. They're on these long, narrow lots. And we were positioned on the second floor on the street side. It was a huge room. 2 single beds, 2 desks, small closet and a fireplace. The day we moved in was June, it was summer school. And it was extremely hot in Charleston that day. Like, the humidity was crazy. You could just cut the air with a knife. It was so humid. So we moved in, we're just exhausted, and we fall fast asleep. I'm a light sleeper, but I remember I was sleeping really hard because I was so worn out. Well, the first night we're in this house, around 3 a.m., I hear this loud boom. And it just, it sounded like it was right at the foot of my bed. And I sit just straight up in bed, Jen. And, it sounded like somebody took a 50 or 60-pound sack and just dropped it on the floor right at the foot of my bed. And, I could feel the vibration from it when it happened. It just woke me straight up. And so I'm sitting up in my bed, and I whip my head over to look at my best friend who's in the room with me in another bed. And I can see her eyes are just huge. She's like, what was that? And she just starts getting panicked. And I leap from my bed across the room onto her bed, and we're clinging to each other. It was so frightening, Jim. I could feel my scalp was tight. You could feel the hair standing up, and I could hear my heart just hammering in my ears. That's how panicked I was and how scared we both were. So after a while I was look, I'm going to check to see if the other girls are okay in the house. There were 2 other girls on the opposite end of the house, and there was 1 girl right above us, and kind of the attic that the campus housing kind of turned into a loft bedroom. So I go check on the other girls, and they're fine. They were asleep. They didn't wake up. They're on the opposite end of the house. It's a long, narrow house. So, who knows? So my friend is like clinging to my back, and I'm climbing up to the third floor to check on the girl who lives above us. I knock on her door and I don't hear anything. And you know, I'm thinking maybe she fell out of bed. She's having a medical emergency. She's unconscious. And we didn't lock our doors. So I just burst into the room looking for her. And she wasn't even there. Like, I found out she was staying with family across town that night. But I know that it sounded like it came from my room, like the foot of my bed. It was just absolutely frightening. And I have something to add. I was thinking about telling my story, and I was thinking, did I take pictures of the place that summer? And I did.
Oh.
And there was one picture that turned out really strange, Jim. I met my boyfriend like a week after being in Charleston, and he's now my husband. So this picture that we took was with my camera. It was before digital cameras. So it was actually film I had to get developed. Is the picture of us in that room, and we're dressed nice. We're going out to a nice restaurant, and my best friend takes a picture of us. And this was before I knew anything about ghost hunting and EVPs and orbs and all that. There's an orb, I guess you would say, right directly on my husband's forehead in the picture. It's just me and him standing in front of the fireplace at the foot of my bed where I heard the sound. And at the time, I was like, maybe it's just dust. You know, we were like, this is a great picture of us, but what is this thing, you know, that we see right on your forehead? It kind of ruins the picture. I don't know, Jim. I don't know what happened that night. I checked everything. I thought there was a car accident, you know, or something. There was nothing. I can't explain it. And it's something that stuck with me my whole life, because I don't get scared easy. I've been around horses my whole life. You know, there's scary things can happen on a horse. It's a big animal. Barns and stuff. I rode dirt bikes. You know, I would hike all the time before I had my son, which was like a year ago. And I encountered black bears and coyotes and bobcats, and I don't scare easy, but this is something that definitely stuck with me, Jim.
Well, I think the difference is, you know, a black bear or a coyote, that's something, you know what it is. You can quantify it. You can say, this is what it is. This is how I deal with it. You know what you're facing. With this, you're truly facing the unknown.
Yes, the unexplained. And that's what has bothered me about that experience. I know I didn't see like a full-bodied apparition, but it's definitely something unexplained and abnormal, you know.
Now,
that's it, Jim.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you said you had that photo. Have you posted that photo to our virtual campfire group by any chance?
No, I haven't. It's actually up in my attic, and I thought about emailing it to you so you could see it, because it's obvious. And at the time, like I said, I didn't know anything about orbs or whatever, you know. I thought it was just like dust or something. I didn't know. But he was standing at the foot of my bed where it happened, in front of the fireplace. You know, it's just strange.
Well, if you want to, what you could do is you could actually post that directly to our virtual campfire group yourself, and folks could take a look at it if you're comfortable doing that.
Yes, I think I will, Jim. I'm on your virtual campfire group. And I think they would like to see it. For sure.
Great.
Well, so I'll do that.
Great. Everybody listening, by the time this is out, look for that, and Aaron will post it and reference the story. And Aaron, thank you so much for listening and reading the books and being a part of the campfire tonight.
Yes, sir, Jim. Stay spooky.
Stay spooky, Aaron. Blake is on the line from the great state of Michigan, and he's going to tell us a couple of spooky stories. And these are kind of head scratchers. They don't fit necessarily into a traditional story or something that you would normally hear, but they are, they are head scratchers. Blake, welcome to the program, and please tell us your stories.
All right. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. The first one happened about 17 years ago, and I had gone to see the movie The Haunting with my friend Andre. It wasn't the scariest movie in the world, but afterwards we were in the mood to be scared. We were in that spooky mood, so we were telling each other scary stories and went to a couple of the local haunt areas in our hometown. So in our small town of Middleville, it's about 20 minutes south of Grand Rapids, Michigan, there's an old abandoned ski lodge, and supposedly there are ghosts that haunt the ski lodge or the ski hill. So we walked around there. It was still about dusk, so we didn't necessarily come across anything scary there. But what's interesting is when we left, you know how sometimes you go to start your vehicle and you just don't hold the key over long enough so it doesn't quite start all the way? Well, that happened, and I turned to Andre and I said, "Ooh, wouldn't it have been scary if the car wouldn't start?" Just said that, turned the key over again, and we were off and running. The next stop, of course, is the cemetery. And like most small town cemeteries, there's rumors of ghosts and hauntings and things like that that go on, even as far to say that it was near or on a Native American burial ground. So we're walking around the cemetery, again, just spooking each other, telling stories that we had heard. And it gets dark, so we decide it's time to leave. Well, we get in the car, we get in my vehicle, and I go to turn the key over, and nothing happens.
Oh, boy.
Not a click.
Oh, boy.
Not a ding. Not a light. Not a headlight. Not an interior light. Nothing at all. So I look over at Andre. He looks at me. His face is white as a ghost. I'm sure mine was, too. We freak out, throw the car in neutral, and push it out of the cemetery as quickly as we can. Luckily, one of our friend's sister's house was a few blocks away, so we pushed it there and had it towed the next day. After work, I called the auto repair place and asked them what was wrong with the vehicle.
Right.
And they said that absolutely nothing was wrong with the vehicle. What's interesting is I listened to a few episodes from the past, and there was one that came up that was similar to this, where a gentleman's motorcycle wouldn't start, and it kept him from getting into an accident with some cows. I don't know if you remember that one, Jim.
Right.
But
I don't know if that one.
Yeah, it was a great story, and I found this was kind of similar. I don't know if we missed out on anything or if there was a reason why the vehicle wouldn't start, but turns out there was nothing wrong with the car. The mechanic drove it to the shop right from my friend's sister's, and ever since then didn't have an issue at all with the vehicle. So it was kind of strange, kind of scary, and interesting.
And I know you had another one, and this one, I really don't know what category to put this in. It's one of the stranger stories I've ever heard. Tell us about it.
Yeah. And well, I'm going to put it into context a little bit because I lived in a house about 10 years ago in Grand Rapids, right in town. And Grand Rapids used to be known in the 1800s for being furniture manufacturing mecca. And you can see how the houses are set up based on the different employees of the factories. And this house that I lived in with my former wife was built in the 1800s, and it would be where like the middle managers, like the floor managers would live that worked at the factories. So it was an old house.
Okay.
And when we moved in, we would notice old house sounds, especially at night, you know, banging pipes and things of that nature. And we always just wrote it off as, you know, that's just old house sounds. Well, one time we were having a garage sale and a young man came up to us and said, "Hey, I used to live in this house. And oh, by the way, did you know that the house is haunted? And we're like, whoa, really? I mean, we've heard strange noises and things like that, but that's about the extent of it. He said, yeah, there's a lady that died in the house, and she haunts it. And we you know, thanked her for the story. I guess he also told us that there was supposedly a jar of pennies buried in the one of the columns on the front porch. We never took apart the column to find the pennies. But anyway, he told us both of those stories. As time progressed, we continued to hear these noises, these sounds. And I can't tell you, Jim, how many times my wife at the time had me get up and go check the house to see if anybody was in it, to see what was going on, because we would hear like dishes clanging down on the first floor and all kinds of banging and things like that. I never Right. found anything. I never found anybody. But what was odd is the sounds always seemed to come from either the attic or downstairs. And I remember one time specifically that there was a lot of banging coming from the attic. It was just bang, bang, bang. It was really loud. And I don't know why, just something came over me and I just yelled out, hush, and the sound stopped. And that freaked us out really bad, because if it was a normal house sound, why would it
wouldn't stop when you told it to stop?
it would not stop on command if it was banging pipes. So that was the first inkling that we got that there may be something supernatural, or the lady may indeed be haunting the house. So fast forward a little bit more time, and we're sitting there watching TV one night. It was late in the evening, probably 11-ish, and my cat, Magic, came tearing through the living room, went about halfway up the steps, was peeking through the stairway, and just started hissing. And I look over to my right, and right there in my living room, there's a lady, and she's got dark black hair, and it's like sticking straight up. She's got bare feet that are just filthy. She's just really gaunt looking. And she just keeps talking about needing a ride, wanting a ride. I need a ride. I want a ride in a car, blah, blah, blah. And for a second, I didn't know what to make of it. Was this the ghost? Was this the lady? Or was this someone real? And finally, after a few moments, I kind of composed myself. And I got up and I reached for her. And I touched her, and she was, in fact, a human being. She was a person that had apparently just walked into the house. So I started pushing her out of the house, and just saying, you need to get out, you need to get out. She just kept saying, I want a ride, I want a ride.
That's frightening. That's frightening. I mean, because you've got a live human being in your house who's just a stranger, odd-looking, asking for a ride. Very bizarre.
Right. Well, and the fact that we had been told that the house was haunted by a lady, it took my brain probably half a minute to think, maybe this isn't a ghost. That's what initially I just thought. So finally I get her out of the door, out of the back door, shut it, lock it. And the next thing I do, obviously, is I get on the phone with the police. And the police come, and we're out front on the porch talking to them, and explaining kind of what the lady looks like, that type of thing. And all of a sudden, one of my neighbors comes tearing around the corner and runs up to us and is like, officer, some lady just walked into my house talking about how she needed a ride. So apparently, after being pushed out of my house, she went to the next house that she could come get into and start asking them for a ride. Quite strange, quite scary.
Do you think it's all connected, though, somehow, the strange lady and all the strange happenings at the house?
I don't know. It just seems too much of a coincidence to me that she appeared and the house was haunted by a lady. I don't know. It seems too oddly connected. And I can tell you, during the whole situation, it just felt very surreal, Jim. Like, even thinking back on it now, the whole thing it felt really weird. I don't know how to really explain it. It just felt very strange. And I think any of your listeners that have experienced, you know, paranormal type things, they know that weird feeling that you get. So I don't know. It just seemed too much of a coincidence. But talked to the police, gave them a description. They came back probably a half hour later, and they had a digital photograph of this woman. And they said, "Is this her?" And we were like, "Yes." And they were like, "Thank you." And they left and presumably took her to jail for breaking and entering. But yeah, it was quite an odd night. And everyone I've ever told the story to, they're immediately put on edge from it. So I thought it would be a good one to share on Campfire.
Also, we want to mention Blake is a podcaster himself, as a fairly new podcast, I believe. Briefly, Blake, tell us a little bit about it, where people can find it.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. The podcast is called Crushing Defeat. And basically, we tackle some interesting subjects kind of on the fringe of society and culture. One episode that I would recommend for Campfire listeners is episode 2, Biohacking. And it's about what people are doing today or getting implanted today to merge man and woman with machine, different sensors and oddities that people are getting implanted into themselves. So that's one I would recommend for Campfire listeners. Again, it's Crushing Defeat. You can find it at crushingdefeat.com or just search Crushing Defeat podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app.
Crushing Defeat sounds like Cleveland sports until this last week when the Cavaliers finally broke our 52-year jinx.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right.
Well,
thank you so much, Jim, for the opportunity. Both yourself and Maddie have been very, very great.
Well, thank you, and best of luck with the podcast. Everybody, check out Crushing Defeat, and thanks for being a part of the Campfire, Blake.
Thank you.
If you love true ghost stories, check out Jim's 4 Campfire books at Amazon. Each has been a Kindle Supernatural bestseller, and they have hundreds of reviews with a 4.5 average rating. Did you know that you can get the Kindle ebook for less than the cost of a fancy coffee? Plus, the paperback is available for those of us who prefer the dead tree version. They also make great gifts, too. Find them all at Amazon or go to jimharoldbooks.com for direct links to each book. Now, back to the show.
She's been listening for about 6 months. Alice is on the line from the great state of Maine. When I think of Maine, I think of Stephen King, my favorite writer. Anyway, well, I guess she has a story maybe worthy of Stephen King. This is about a house she moved into when she was in her teenage years in her parents' home subsequently. And we're so glad to have her on the line. Alice, welcome to the program. And tell us about this kind of haunted home you moved into when you were a teenager.
Hi, all. I'm so glad to be here. We moved into the house when I was 14, and it was pretty uneventful for the first couple of months. It was me and my mom and my dad and my 2-year-old sister. We had lived there for, I want to say, like 2 months, and I was upstairs in my bedroom, and I was, I didn't realize at the time that I was home alone, but I was painting my nails, and I wasn't supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the radio and I heard somebody knock on my bedroom door. So I paused the radio and I told them to come in and nobody responded to me. Nobody opened the door. So I just kind of, you know, I had a 2-year-old sister. I figured she was messing with me. So I pressed play on my stereo again and went back to doing what I was doing. And about 10 minutes later, I heard the knock again. Mm-hmm. And so, same as before, I paused the stereo and I said, come in, and nobody answered. And so I was kind of a cranky 14-year-old. So I went through the house and was going to find my mom and ask her why in the world she kept knocking and not answering me. And I went through every room in the house and there was nobody there. I checked the garage and there was nobody there. And it sort of dawned on me that there was nobody in the house that could have been knocking on the door. When my mom got home, I told her about it and she told me it was probably just the house settling. It was a new house, you know, that I wasn't familiar with and that I really shouldn't worry about it. And so I tried not to. And a couple of weeks after that, I was home alone again, except I knew I was alone this time. And I decided, you know, nobody's here. I'm going to take a shower. And so for whatever reason, I decided to lock the bathroom door behind me. And I'd been in the shower for about 5 minutes when I heard somebody knocking on right. the bathroom door, right. which is right next to my bedroom door.
Oh,
and so I,
I pulled the shower door back and I looked and the doorknob was moving. And so I thought to myself, well, this isn't the house settling. So I'll never know what possessed me to do it, but I said, I'll be out in a minute. And
oh boy,
the knocking stopped. And the doorknob stopped moving. And so I got out of the shower and I got dressed and I ran through the whole house and I checked everything and there was nobody there. The garage was empty. And I frantically called my mom and I told her I thought somebody was in the house, and she came home and she looked through the whole house and said, you know, it's the house settling. You're just imagining things. And that's pretty much how it went for a while. And then again, I was upstairs in my bedroom. These two previous incidences had happened in the middle of the day. And this third one did as well. I was upstairs in my bedroom again, and I heard my mom scream from the bottom of the stairs. And so it's be down in a minute, and I finished up what I was doing, and I went downstairs, and she was asleep in the living room with my sister. And so I woke her up, and I said, what do you want? And she looked at me, and she said, oh, I must have been asleep for an hour. And I said, well, you just yelled at me like 5 minutes ago. And she said, no, I couldn't have. I fell asleep before your sister's TV show ended. We sat down like an hour ago. So, yeah. So, she said, you know, maybe it's the houses are pretty close here. Maybe it's the neighbors. We'd lived in the country and now we were in a pretty, you know, urban area. So, I said, okay, yeah, sure, mom. And that was kind of it. She told me to stop talking about it and that was fine. And when I started college, she actually told me that she reminded me of all of the stories that I'd told her when we first moved into the house. And I said, yeah, I remember those. And she said, well, something kind of funny happened to me. She woke up because she heard my dad, like whispering really loudly to her from downstairs at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's not unusual. He's an early bird. So he's up really early and doing stuff. And so she got up and went downstairs, and we have a wood stove in the living room, and he was starting a fire in the wood stove. And my mom said, what do you want? And he jumped and turned around and said, what do you mean? And she said, I just heard you calling to me from downstairs. And he goes, I was just outside until about 30 seconds ago.
Oh boy.
So he said the same thing to her that she'd said to me all of those years. It was probably just the house. It was probably just the wind. Don't worry about it. And she said that had sparked something in her memory about how not too long after I'd told her about all of my experiences, my 2-year-old sister was in her bedroom playing while my mom was in my parents' room folding laundry. And she could hear my sister talking to herself and singing. She was 2. That's what they do. And all of a sudden she got really quiet. And with kids, that's really suspicious. But then a few seconds later, she heard these running feet down the hallway, and my sister came into her room and said, Mommy, there's somebody talking to me. Who's that man talking to me? And my mom said, there's no man talking to you, honey. It's just us. My dad was the only man that lived there, and he was at work, and I was at school. And my sister said, no, there's a man. He's talking to me from my closet. He won't tell
goodness.
Me his name.
Oh, my goodness.
And so my mom kind of said, you know, I didn't really know how to, you know, brush that one off. So she just didn't say anything to anybody about it. Chalked it up to 2-year-old imagination and kind of moved on. But the real kicker for this was my dad, who is the biggest skeptic. He rolls his eyes every time I say anything about it. Had actually had an experience a couple of days before my mom was telling me all these things. And my mom was sleeping in the spare bed in my sister's room. My sister hadn't been feeling well. And my dad was in their room, and he woke up and heard my mom screaming from downstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
Screaming. And so he gets up and goes running down the stairs and runs all around the first floor of the house, turning on lights and stuff, and she's not down there. My mom woke up to him running down the stairs and got up and he came up and, you know, opened my sister's door and waved her out in the hallway. I said, why were you screaming? How did you get back up here? And she goes, what are you talking about? He goes, you were screaming. I could hear you. And she said, I wasn't. I was up here the whole time. So and she looked at him and said, maybe it's the house settling.
Oh, my goodness.
Was not, he wasn't too impressed with that answer. But I actually had gone back to house sit the place, and I got there and the back door was open, and I checked the whole house. There was nobody there. And I went to bed and I could hear banging upstairs in the attic above me most of the night.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which was, that was new. I mean, it was an escalation.
So it
from
seemed,
knocking,
yeah, so it seemed to be progressing and escalating.
Yeah, I would say so. But it hasn't been, I've asked my mom about it a couple of times and she said that they haven't really experienced anything. So it seems to just like to do stuff when I come back.
So, yeah, so it picks on you specifically. Now, do you think that's because you're younger that, you know, obviously we've heard these stories of people who are younger, you know, primarily teenagers, these entities or whatever they are attracted to them. Do you think that has something to do with it? They just like you specifically?
I'm not sure. It seems to be a pattern for me that every house I've ever lived in has had some sort of spirit in it.
Oh, interesting.
I just kind of moved from haunted house to haunted house. So maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just lucky and I pick haunted houses. But
well,
it's definitely an adventure.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. Well, Alice, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire, for listening and for sharing your story. And we'll be curious to see if other people have had similar experiences in their homes. Thank you so much, Alice.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed this edition of The Campfire as much as I did. I thought we had some fantastic callers this week. And I hope that you'll share your story on The Campfire. Just go over to jimherold.com/campfire and sign up for that. Also, please show some love and show yourself and your family some love by checking out our new sponsor, Ring, over at ring.com/campfire. That's ring.com/campfire. And finally, please rate and review the shows wherever you may listen. I know many of you listen on iTunes. There you can give us 4 or 5 stars and write a sentence or two. Other places you may just be able to give us a star rating, but we appreciate that as well. And that really helps us get up in the charts. As I say many times, we don't have this huge marketing budget like a lot of people do, but we've got something even better. We've got you, but we need you to participate to make that work. And we appreciate all the people who've been posting reviews over at iTunes and all the other sites lately. We'll talk to you next time on The Campfire. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.